a good brother in the Lord, Anthony Alley, and he said, "Do you mind if I start a website?" I said, "Whatever that is." I mean, I'm 62, so go figure. I said, "Whatever it is, by all means, do it with all your might to the glory of God." And he did start a website. And since then, we've been putting messages on there. All the messages from Bethel Baptist Church are put on this website, and you can go on there and you can actually see where people in China, Russia, Korea, is right. In other places, dark corners of the world, light is shown in there because of technology. Now, I'm not that smart. I don't know how to start a website. But Anthony was able to convey over me how to keep it going. And I thank God for that website. We're trying to get the Word of God out. I'm a saved man, 100% saved. Called of God to preach, 100%. I was going to preach today on things I've been assured of, and I was looking forward to preaching that. But this morning at 2:30, the boss, the one that I answer to, that Paul said there stood by thee this night, there in the book of Acts there, talking about God being the one that leads and guides in our life, he changed the message, and I want to do like he told Jonah to do there in Jonah. He said, "You go to Nineveh, that great city, and you preach the preaching I bid you to preach." And I'm just a messenger boy. I'd rather have you mad at me than have God mad at me.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I do fear God. I've been on both sides of God. I've been on the loving side of God. And I've had a few rough encounters. Had one yesterday up in Upton, Kentucky. Out in the field with a bunch of cows. God brought something to my mind that I didn't want to be brought to my mind. And we settled it out there. And it was a matter about a car that I own and a friend of mine wanting to buy it. And I told him a certain price. And he made me an offer and I didn't feel like that was fair. And God brought some of my remembrance and I said it is fair. So I called him on the way up here. We done got that all straightened out. But God's bigger than me. He's bigger than you. Matter of fact, Solomon said the heavens can't contain him. Heaven's his throne, earth's his footstool. He's a pretty big God. I appreciate the privilege to be here this morning. Let me say that. Those of you who don't know Eddie Wade, you ain't missed nothing. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've missed it all.
Amen.
That's the reason you're here.
Amen.
That's the reason you're here today. You may not realize this, Dave. God's going to even visit you today. He done told me already. He's coming. He's real. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I done that 27 years ago. Now I have to admit, if you ain't done it, you need to do it. We'll take our text this morning, St. John chapter 2. And let me say, it is a blessed honor to be here with you this morning. And I'll be quick to tell you, I'm not nothing but animated clay. But he put something in this vessel 27 years ago, made it whole. And I didn't even know there was a void there. I mean, I really didn't realize there was an emptiness in here that nothing could satisfy except Christ, even though I bought cars, motorcycles, and I have to admit, I was a drunk and tried this and tried that, but like Solomon, it all was vanity. April 27, 1988, when I was made whole, I realized, buddy, there's only one thing that can satisfy, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
Apart from Him, buddy, you're going to have an empty life. We'll read five verses here. St. John chapter 2 says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine," our Sunday school lesson this morning mentioned about wine, and it's kind of interesting to me that God already put this in my heart to preach this morning. "When they wanted wine," and it's about normal, that's what I wanted till I met him, The mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. This is our text verse right here, verse 5. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's be our text verse today. And bow your heads with me for prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, if we even thought that we could do anything without you, Lord, we'd be a fool. For you yourself said, without me, you can do nothing. And Lord, so many are doing that today. They're doing nothing. And sadly, they don't know it. Lord, I'm asking today because I know how great I do need you. And I pray, Lord, you'd take this worthless vessel. And I pray, Lord, you'd give unto me to give unto these. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, I thank you for these precious privileges. Ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' mother here, she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I want to take that one verse right there. And God stirred my heart this morning, 2:30 this morning. I want to try to preach today on advice for the last days. And I figured it'd be a record attendance day because of what happened this week up in Paris, France. When the Twin Towers fell, record attendance of all churches. I mean, they had traffic jams, people trying to get to church. And it's amazing how when some tragedy happens that people start thinking right, and their thoughts are interrupted, and eternity all of a sudden becomes important. And even though 130 people were killed in a senseless act motivated by Satan to kill some innocent people, and some 2,000, I suppose, died there, 9/11, I want to try to give some advice today about what to do in these last days. And believe you me, we are in the last days. But Paul said to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, he said, I give my advice. And his advice was that in the last days perilous times would come. He mentioned that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, I only know one place of safety. And I know some of you might think, you know, that your guns, and a lot of people do have them. I don't have any anymore. I've had my share of mold. And a lot of people might think, you know, that their gold would be a good thing to trust in, or their guns. And, you know, it's come down to the point. My pastor packs a gun. He's got a gun on him right now. It's just a different day. If you got any sense about you, you probably pack one too. Because there ain't nothing worse than a lunatic, and they're going to come in. I'll just tell you right now, I've read the Bible completely through 17 times. And since I am saved and have the light turned on, I do understand it to some degree. And the same God that said in Isaiah chapter 46 that he declared the end from the beginning, that said his counsel would stand, he'd do all his pleasure, has done told us how it's going to end up. So I'll just tell you, this may be to some degree of a rough message. Don't blame me, I'm just a messenger boy, amen. But my pastor wearing a gun right now, and he's not the only one. Most, especially south of us, know that you need to be prepared for the hour we're living in. It's not like it used to be. You know, back when you could leave your doors unlocked. My father used to sleep in the front yard on 118 Newman Street on a chaise lounge. You do that now and you wake up with a knife stuck in you. I mean, people are just mean. They don't have the love of God. They've got more of the mind of Satan than they do anything. But, you need to be prepared for the hour we're living in. These are perilous times. The Bible mentioned there in Luke chapter 21 that we're in that kind of time where it's distress of nations. Our president is meeting with other nations. They're going to try to somehow diplomatically solve this. Good luck with all that. And, nobody seems to want to make a decision anymore. If they do, it's the wrong one. But anyway, I'll just tell you, buddy, things have changed, and they've changed for the worse. As a matter of fact, the Bible went on to say that it's going to get worse and worse under the end. So just so you'll know the hour we're living in, that this is the last days, and I can elaborate on that. There, Luke chapter 21 talks about this a lot, verses 23 and 24. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it talks about there in Luke about many will fall by the edge of the sword. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 mentions about these souls that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. And I'll just tell you, that's how we're living in. And men's hearts failing for fear and looking on those things that are coming. It's coming. I mean, it's not like you can somehow reason with this or somehow do something that's going to stop it. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how much money we spend, how many deals we make, like a Sunday school teacher taught this morning about Hezekiah, king of Israel, trying to make some kind of agreement with Sennacherib of terms of peace. There's not going to be no peace. Matter of fact, God said there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I'll just tell you, best thing you do is just get good and saved, and then you'll be ready for whatever comes. But I got three points here I want to make before I preach the message here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try." I mean, this is just in the norm. I mean, if you'll just stop and think about it, Genesis chapter number 6, early on in the Bible, God said that he saw that the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. And it grieved God at his heart that it even made man. That's sad commentary, but that's you and me. So after so long, God has to intervene. And he intervened in Noah's day. Matter of fact, he made a reference to it. He said it'd be like it was in Noah's day. It was only evil continually. Men, they'd done everything but God's way. They corrupted his way in all the earth. That's where we're at. Anyway, but God's way. But God sent a flood. For what it's worth, fossilized fish on top of Mount Everest. And you know they'll believe anything but the Bible. But he sent a flood, enough evidence to prove that God had to intervene in Lot's day. I mean, Genesis 13:13, the men of Sodom were wicked sinners above all men. I mean, God can just take so much. And he comes down and he shows himself to be God. He's no respecter of persons. And he told Lot, he sent two angels to Lot, and they said, "Up, get you out of this place, because God's going to destroy it." What did Lot do? Well, he done about like the church today. He went to his family. He went to his son-in-laws. I don't know if he had 200, 300, or 100. But he went to them, and he said, "Up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy it." But the Bible said that he seemed as one that mocked to them. You see, when you lose your testimony as a church, I appreciate a Sunday school teacher. He said he still had a little salt in him. He said they turned thanks on their food, and that does bring out a response. And even though that lawyer was kind of arrogant, he needed that. Mm-hmm. I remember when we first got saved, and I'll just tell you, I was roughing the cob. I didn't know a whole lot, but I remember we went to Dairy Queen's. Anybody remember Dairy Queen back there by the swimming pool? Does anybody here remember Dairy Queen? Oh, no, it wasn't Dairy Queen, it was Burger Queen, sorry. Yeah, Burger Queen. We went in there as a young family, and I was getting ready to eat my food like normal, and my kids said, "Daddy, ain't we going to turn thanks?" And that was new to me. I just got saved, so I bowed my head, and I asked God's blessing upon the food and upon my family, and we raised our head up, and everybody was crying, and this older couple come over and hugged our necks, said, "We just got so blessed." Seeing a family bow their head, why? Why is it we struggle to do that? That should be the norm. This brother back here said they bowed their head and blessed their food. They got a response too, didn't he, brother? Mm-hmm. Then that lawyer rant and raved. He needed that. See, they went to bed with him that night. He knew that's what he needed to do. And, you know, I mean, and Peter there says they think it's strange that you don't run in the same excess right with them. I'm not riding no more. I'm clothed and in my right mind. There's no more riding in this old boy. I might be dogmatic for Calvary and for the faith and the Bible, but I don't write no more. I'm not concerned about poles, because the Bible said though hand joined with hand, God's still coming down. I mean, it don't matter how many people's on this side. How many people's on that side? I'm telling you, he's coming. And when he comes, you better be ready. Amen. Amen. But my advice for the last days, and it's just three real quick thoughts here. First thing I do, I just get good and saved. You ever done it? Now, when you do like I did, live 34 years lost, you're just playing like what I call spiritual roulette. You ain't got no promise of tomorrow. You ain't got no hope of heaven. I even get under conviction now about voting, brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a citizen of that country. My citizenship ain't even down here no more. I get under conviction about voting. I'm sitting there thinking, should I vote or not? Man, oh man. I've changed my residence. It's up on Mansion Avenue. I'm going to put footprints on golden streets of heaven. And I'm looking forward to it. Matter of fact, Colossians, Paul said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above them. I've had a heavenly mind now for 27 years. You know that Queen of Sheba, when she come to Solomon to prove him with hard questions like most people do, they try to pin you to the mat. And matter of fact, I'm ready. I not only read my Bible, I know my Bible. Thanks to God, the Holy Spirit, being saved. Bring them on. I've said a few Jehovah's Witness Mormons in their place and all of that. And it's amazing that people will stranger than that just to swallow a camel. But anyway, when she come to prove Solomon with hard questions, the Bible says she fainted within herself. And she said, I didn't believe the report until I came and seen for myself. You know what she said? She said, the half ain't been told. I got a feeling we get to heaven. That's about what we're going to say. Now, I mean, I know the eye's not seen, the ear's never heard, never's in the heart of man, the things God has prepared for him. But I got a feeling when we do finally set foot in heaven, we're going to say, whoa! Some of you ain't never shouted, going to shout all over the place. I guess they'll say a new arrival will come through again. We're going to say the high has not been told. First thing I'd do, I'd get good and saved. I mean, Jesus, he put a lot of emphasis on being saved. I mean, he told the most religious man, I guess there was in that day, Nicodemus, that kind of snuck in by night because he didn't want nobody to know he wanted to go talk about Jesus, or go talk to Jesus, and he come to him by night for fear of the Jews. Lord ain't got no problem with that. Did you notice he didn't turn him away? Matter of fact, he said, all that come to me, I'll know why it's time to boy. You come to him on any terms you want, you'll find out, buddy. He may have a hole in his hand, but he'll still reach it out. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus came to him by night, and he's trying to figure out, man, how can he deny the mighty works that he did while he was down here? Jesus told him, he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. St. John chapter 3, verse 3. Then he went on a little bit more. Nicodemus, he kind of got all theological, all messed up. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus, he explained it. He just kind of had an intermission right there. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. If you ain't never been born again, you're flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. I became spiritual 27 years ago. I didn't know what that meant. I'm still kind of growing on me. But I'll tell you one thing. It's kind of like a joke I heard one time about a little boy had a litter of kittens. And this certain denomination preacher come up and he said, what kind of kittens is there, my young man? He said, these are certain kittens. And I'll try to be discreet here because I really don't have an axe to grind here. And he went and got his preaching buddy. He said, come here, I got a little boy I want you to meet. He went over there and he said, young man, tell him what kind of kittens them are. He said, them's Baptist kittens, sirs. He said, but the other day you said they're such and such. He said, yeah, that's before they get their eyes opened. If you ain't spiritual, I'll just tell you right now, buddy, the lights never came on. You're still in darkness. And you need to get enlightened. He the spiritual knoweth all things, for God is revealing to him through the mind of Christ. But the natural man, that's what I was for 34 years. I was blind, leading blind. I thought I knew everything about God, knew nothing of what I needed to know. But anyway, you need to get good and saved. Then you need to join or attend a good Bible preaching, Bible believing church. Matter of fact, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Everybody always leaves this part out. But exhorting one another. See, it encourages me when I see you, and I hope I encourage you by you seeing me. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't that discourage you, them nieces and nephews ain't in church? You want to be, don't you? See, that would be in the form of exhortation. If they showed up today and come in here, you say, "Woo! Glory!" That's exhortation. Now, the opposite of exhortation is pray for my nieces and nephews. I'd like to see them get in church. Well, that's what Hebrews 10:25 is talking about. Not forsaking the assembling together of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. So get saved, get in church, and get my eyeballs here. Read your Bible. You know, I was talking about getting saved. Peter said in Acts 2:40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You're in a generation just like what he mentioned right there, buddy. They had the wrong idea of God. They were like Saul that became Paul. Got straightened out when he met Jesus. But read your Bible. Jesus said, if you be my disciples, continue in my word. You know the truth. The truth will make you free. There's a lot of things being told ain't all truth. I'll just tell you right now. Acts 17:11 talks about some Bereans. And it said they were more noble than them in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You need to do that. Put the preacher on the spot if need be. But I'll tell you right now, get saved, get in church, and read your Bible. Everybody gets saved over at Bethel. I always tell them, read the Gospel of St. John. You read the Gospel of St. John, it's like a mini Bible inside the Bible. And I tell everybody, read the Gospel of St. John. There's enough Bible in St. John to make you pretty much aware of everything God wants you to know just right there in that one little Gospel. Now, for those of you that don't know, let me just say this. John is your apostle. Well, Paul's your apostle. Sorry. John is your gospel. I'll get it right here in a minute. Jesus had a different relationship with John than he did all the rest of the disciples, and he was noted to be that disciple whom the Lord loved. Matter of fact, the Lord loved the church, gave himself for it. He's coming for the church. And John pictures the church in those disciples there. Well, okay, let's get on the message here. Jesus said, when I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And he ain't talking about Fox News. But in Mark 13:37, just look around a little bit. I mean, signs are everywhere. It's not hard to determine that we're in the last days. I know that the things have continued since they were from the beginning. I know there's scoffers. I know there are people living in denial. And I know they got everything but good to say about the church and the preacher and you and everything else. But I'll tell you what, he's still coming. And if we don't warn them, he'll require their blood at our hand. If we don't welcome them, we'll not be doing his job. And that's why the church is here. You know, the day I got saved, I wondered, why wasn't I in heaven? And I was smart enough to realize there must be something God wants me to do. And I believe there's something God wants all of us to do. Matter of fact, that demonic man that had that legion of devils, when he got cast out of them devils clothed in his right mind, he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, return to your family and your friends and tell what great things the Lord has done. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Now you might be the very one needed. I told you all about Wendell Shaw. Wendell Shaw was the very one I needed. He was a very compassionate man, but he also was a very persistent man. He never gave up on Eddie Wade, and I thank God for him. God done called him home. He done graduated this life. But I'll tell you one thing, he got an extra jewel in his crown because he got an old sinner, Eddie Wade, to Calvary, amen. Look around. This thing's real. It was told by God that it's going to be just like it is today. Now, the Lord mentioned about a parable of a fig tree there in Matthew 24, and he talked about when it's yet tender, put it forth its leaf. He said, he's talking about Israel there. He said, when you see these things, he said, no, it's nigh, even at the door. But he said that generation wouldn't pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, he just got through giving a discourse because his disciples come to him and said, Lord, what's going to be the end of the world? And wasn't going to be the size of them, the world. And he's give a big long list of stuff. And he finished it up with that right there about the parable of the fig tree. Now here's what he's talking about, that parable of the fig tree. He's talking about Israel. They became a nation again in 1948. Write that down. They got possession of their land again in 1950. God said, the last verse of Joel, I'll plant my people and they'll be moved no more. America can't move them. China, Russia can't move them. ISIS can't move them. They're not going nowhere. One of the most modern day miracles of our day and time is Israel. They are not going nowhere. All of earth combined, united, cannot move that little speck over there that even over there in the Middle East, they don't even have them on the map because they hate them. They are not going nowhere because they are God's chosen people. They are in their promised land that God made a promise to Abraham and he's big enough to keep it. Well, anyway, they became a nation in 1948. They got possession of land in 1950. Now the Lord said all these things are going to be fulfilled before this generation passes away. So go ahead and put that 7 years of tribulation in there. And you come up with 74 years. Now if you know your Bible there in Psalms chapter 91, talks about our years of 70, that's 70. And then by strength, 80, that's 80. So they're between 70 and 80 years in that generation that the Lord said would not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And I'm not trying to be a prophet here, but I'll just tell you right now, it ain't going on much farther. I'll just tell you right now, that little baby that was born in 1948 is still alive by the providence of God, just like Methuselah was born. And they said when he dies, it's going to come. And that's the longest living man ever lived. And then the flood came. Learn that parable, that fig tree, and look around. Look at what's going on. You know what God told Abraham about his children? Genesis 15, verse 13 through 14. He told him about his children. He said, I just want to tell you about your children, Abraham. He said, they're going to be a stranger in a land for 400 years. And they're going to suffer there. They're going to be spitefully treated. But Abraham, they're going to come out with great spoil. They were in Egypt 400 years. Exodus says, I think it's Exodus 12. They came out with great riches. You know why? Because God promised Abraham that they would. Matter of fact, those Egyptians, I believe it's verse 35 and 36, they was glad to give it to them. They wanted them out of there. They was glad to give them all the gold. And they come out with a high hand. Exactly 400 years like God said. That tells me a little bit about God. He knows a whole lot more we'll ever give him credit for. Matter of fact, he said he knows the hairs on the head, on the number of hairs on my head. And I kind of hope he keeps up with the count because they're getting kind of thin up there. But I'll tell you, buddy. Look around. Forget about global warming and dwell rather on the flames of hell. Because I'll tell you right now, there is going to be a global warming, but not like man's are thinking. You can read down 2 Peter there, and it talks about the earth's going to be burned up with a fervent heat, and the heaven's going to melt. I'm telling you, there is going to be a global warming, but it's not going to be like the $800 million that Al Gore made beating the drum of global warming. Now he's done. He's got his money. It'll eat at him like a canker before it's all said and done. I don't know if anybody's heard this song or not, but Gerald Crabb, he wrote a new song. The name of the song is called You Asked Him to Leave, and he don't sing it, he wrote it. But he had another guy sing that song. It starts out talking about school shootings. And then it moves on to when you bury your face in your hands, just remember, you asked him to leave. Boy, you're talking about a prophetic song. I listened to it on the way up here. It ain't been released yet. I have to hear it on King King's radio. That's all I listen to. I'm spiritual. I got to have spiritual songs to make a melody in my heart. I got to have them. I don't know about y'all, but I've got to have them. And that's a tremendous song. You asked him to leave. I heard a story one time about a woman. When she was a teenager, God got to dealing with her about getting saved. And she said, I'll make a promise to you, God. She She said, "You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone." She died a lost woman. And the preacher went to her bedside at the request of the family. He said, "Honey, why won't you get saved?" She said, "God don't speak to me, nor does God deal with me anymore. I asked Him to leave." You better be careful what you do with this Jesus, buddy. There's only one bridge from here to heaven. He made that at Calvary. At Calvary, He uttered the words, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." If you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, you'll know how you got forgiven for His sake. Not because of you, not because your tears were so many and so big, but it says, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Look around. Next point, listen to the preacher. He's trying to help you. Now, I got mad when I heard the preacher preach. He was trying to help me. I didn't know at the time that he was. I got mad, first of all, at my wife. I thought she's told him everything I've ever done. I was going to kick her behind him when we got home. Then I got mad at him. Who does he think he is? Telling me I'm a sinner. I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. Listen to you, preacher. He's trying to help you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? It talks about in Corinthians that God chose the foolishness of preaching. I know it's foolish, but God chose it. He uses it. It don't make no sense. I'm a preacher myself. It don't make no sense. But God still works through it.
Amen.
He takes a preacher and He plants the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You don't know it, but He does. He takes the preacher and He waters that seed. But no matter what the preacher does, only God can give the increase. Amen. But He will give that increase if you'll follow up and pray and ask God to save someone. I'll tell you, if they'll hear, if they'll receive, I'll tell you there's hope for them. But listen to the preacher, amen. I'm telling you, 120,000 souls in Nineveh were spared because of the preaching of Jonah, amen. Jesus said they repented at the preaching of Jonah, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Man, I'm telling you, you need to look around. You need to listen to the preacher. And you need to learn from some Bible examples. Now, I don't know how you feel about the Bible. I'll tell you how I feel about it. I got to have it. I'd never read a Bible in my life. 27 years ago, I had no idea what was in that thing. And I'm saved now, and I got a hunger I never had before. I'm hungering and thirsting after God. I'm telling you, my soul was crying out for manna from above. And my wife, she's trying to help me. And man, I'm trying to understand some of this stuff. And it ain't making no sense at all. Somebody said, "Get you a good King James Bible, Brother Eddie." And I got me a good King James Bible. And the light came on. And now it truly is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And interest His Word does give lights. The path of the just has a shining light, shines more and more to the perfect day. I'll just tell you, if you get the right Bible, if you get down and say, "Lord, this is Your Word. I'm Your son. I'm Your daughter. Open Your words to me. Make Your words known to me." You'll be like me. You'll have an eye-opening experience concerning the Bible. And I'll have to say this. It's deeper than you'll ever give it credit for. It's higher than you'll ever believe. It covers a whole lot more territory my little pea brain can handle. Now, I got to read my Bible. Of course, you know how Baptists are. Brother Eddie been called to preach. Brother Eddie been called to preach. And it went on for like 4 years. I said, "No, I'm just good and saved." And I was good and saved. And he kept saying, "Brother Eddie, you been called to preach." I said, "Well, you let him tell me and I will." Don't do God like that. We was having a baptizing down at the Fallen Timber Creek. And another church was there, Brother Jordan. They was already using water hole. We was have to wait on them to get done. And I'm sitting there on the creek, Fallen Timber, and the sun's shining through the willow branches there on the banks of the creek there. My pastor had already asked me to help him baptize the people today that we're going to baptize. And here I am waiting on another church. Here I am looking forward to helping my pastor. Right in the middle of all of that. It wasn't a burning bush, but the light was shining through that willow bush, and God spoke to me. He said, "I want you to preach my word." I wasn't ready for that. To obey is better than sacrifice. So I went to my pastor. I said, "Brother Rick, Let me clarify that. I told it wrong. Let me get it right. On that day, God told me He wanted me to get baptized again. That's what it was. And I had a problem with that. I'd done been saved. I'd done been baptized. I'd done read the Bible through four times. I knew there was no need whatsoever spiritually for me to get baptized again. But like I said, to obey is better than sacrifice. So I went to my pastor. I said, Brother Rick, God just spoke to me back there just a minute ago, and He wants me to get baptized again here today. Brother Rick said, no problem. We just baptize you first. Then you can still help me baptize the rest. Put me down. No lights, no angels, no voice from heaven. It's my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. Just got wet. And I thought, why'd you do that, Lord? That was on a Sunday. On a Monday, my father had left my mother, my loving father, best parents any spoiled brat like me could ever have. He had left my mother. And I was there the day he left her, and it was terrible. I saw my mother get down on her knees and beg my father not to leave her. And I saw him like a fool walk out the door. But I stayed there with my mother to comfort her. But anyway, I had told her and him that I would help him move his stuff out of their house. This is on Monday. And I'm with my dad loading his stuff up, and we're going to an apartment up there on Broadway up there right across from Sears. An upstairs apartment, and we went up there and unlocked the door, and I really didn't want to be there, but as a son, to honor my mom and my dad, I was there. Anyway, we unlocked that door, and this woman showed up that Dad had left Mom for. He left me and went down there, so I'll be back in a minute, and I'm in an empty room all by myself. Matter of fact, Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still, know that I'm God, I was still. And on Monday, after that Sunday of Fallen Timbers baptism, that's when God called me to preach. And I announced it on a Wednesday night. And I still remember me and the devil getting on a first name basis. But anyway, let me get back here where I was preaching it right here. Read your Bible. Jesus said, John 5:39. He said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. Psalms and Hebrews both say, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me from cover to cover. That Bible is about Him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For some reason, know them words, learn of me, just go over our head. Paul told Timothy, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll just tell you, there's a lot more to that Bible than leather cover and letter on paper, because I'll tell you, if it's just letter on paper, it wouldn't be worth nothing. But Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit, they're life. You got to have them, amen. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God's quick. That means it's alive. I've had some monumental moments just spending time in those pages right there. I remember one time at work, I was having a terrible day. Y'all never had one of them, have you? And I didn't want to be around nobody, so I went out there to my car in the parking lot on my break just so I wouldn't be around nobody. And as the Lord would have it, I just happened to open my Bible to Psalms chapter 18. And that says, in my distress, I called upon God and He heard me. He sat down and drew me out of many waters and set my feet on a rock and put a song in my heart and established my goings, even praised the Lord. But listen, I went out defeated. I come in with victory. They said, what happened to you? I said, something wonderful. I just want you to know there's a lot about that Bible that you'll never understand. It's instruction in righteousness. It'll tell you about Him. It'll tell you about hell. It'll tell you about sin. It'll tell you how to live righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. It'll help you. It'll heal you. Didn't He say He sent His word and healed them? Listen, let me tell you something about this Bible. Examples from the Bible. The example of Pilate. What shall I do with this Jesus? History says Pilate spent the rest of his life as a crazy man going through the hills of England trying to wash the blood, the innocent blood, off of his hand. They said he went from body of water to body of water, from creeks to rivers, saying, I can't get this blood off my hands. He should have done something with that Jesus. His wife warned him. His wife said, have thou nothing to do with that Just man, I've suffered many things in a dream today because of him. That's mission impossible. There's no way that you'll not have something to do with Jesus. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. You will have more than a close encounter.
Amen.
The example of Pilate. The example of Jezebel, Revelation 2:21. God said he gave her space to repent. He went on to say she repented not. What an example. What a commentary. Luke 13, verse 3 and 5, Jesus said, repent or perish. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 talks about the angels that sinned up in heaven. They weren't spared. It says they was cast down to hell, reserved unto judgment. You know why they rebelled? Read Isaiah chapter 14. There was somebody up there in heaven, the anointed cherubim full of pride. Matter of fact, he's the king of pride. Somehow or another, he deceived one third of the angels of heaven that had seen God and knew who God was. Somehow or another, this Lucifer, son of the morning, somehow or another, he prevailed and deceived one third of the angels of heaven, and they fell, and he fell. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall down to this earth. Oh, there. You're going to have more than a close encounter with Jesus. I promise you this. You got a day on the calendar of God. You remember that little game we played, Raider or Not, Here I Come? Hide and seek. You count to 100 if you could count that far. Or 10 if he's like me and just barely could make it to there. Ready or not, he's coming. I'm glad I'm ready. There's only one safe place I know. That's under the shadow of the Almighty. Under his wing, you'll find safety. He left an example of those angels. He left an example of those in Noah's day. They were not spared. Only 8 souls. Matter of fact, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, preached for 120 years. He didn't spare those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've done it full circle, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And same-sex unions and all that bunch of junk. Let me tell you something. God made man. He made him in his image. For that very reason alone, standard needs to be as high as it can be. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you same-sex unions, okay? It's an abomination according to the Word of God. It's unnatural, unseemly. There will be a terrible price. You'd be surprised how many churches are on board with it. But even though Lot wasn't a preacher, he failed at warning his son-in-law. They thought he's crazy. Tarsus thought Paul was crazy. Acts 26:24. Let me give you some advice for the last days. I was going to work. It's probably been about 20 plus years ago. You know how it is? We're in a hurry going nowhere. I don't know what it is. Noah Baumann said, his wife said, Noah, you're all right. You get behind the wheel and you just lose it. And that's where we are. We drive like an idiot. And anyway, I was trying to hurry up and get to work. And I looked down my gas hand. It said, you need some gas. And I pulled in a consumer filling station on Columbia Avenue. Now, it's a Shell station now. But back then, it was consumer filling station. And I pulled that big Ford pickup truck in there, that big four-wheel drive truck. I was so proud of that truck. Pulled it in there, and little old red-headed John come out. What you need there, Eddie? I fill her up. The red-headed John, he's 18 years old, got him a leather jacket, got him a girlfriend, got him a Harley, you know. I mean, he's on a roll. He comes out there, he's filling my truck up. I'm in the truck, and I'm just sitting there like this. God said, you go back there and you speak to him. Speak to him about his soul. Well, I thought, well, I'll pick out the perfect track. You know, here I am, good Baptist. I got me a whole big bunch of tracks in there, and I thought, well, he wouldn't like that. No, he probably wouldn't like that. Let's see. Okay, I'll go with that one. I get my little track out, you know. Here I go back there to John. Let's just take, for instance, John. He's right there. These are two gas pumps. I come to John, I say, and right then, a man stepped between two gas pumps, me and John. He started talking to John. I thought, I'll tell him next time. He died that night. I got his blood on my hand. Anything to do about it, there's no way to undo this. God will require his blood in my hand. I mean, he told me specifically, you go back there and you talk to John. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll just tell you, buddy, there will be a price to pay for that. John died that night. He went to a party. I don't know what it is about young people party, but I done it. We all do it. He went to a party that night. He's having him big time. He's got a 45 automatic, and you know how drunks are. He's drinking. Sunday school teacher, wine's a mocker and strong drinks, right? He's drinking. He's got him a 45, and he's foolish. And his girlfriend said, John, put that thing up before you hurt somebody. He said, ain't loaded. Pull it to his head and blowed his brains out that very night. Already on the counter of God, God knew John was going to die. You know what God told Lady Wade? Go talk to John about his soul. You see, we see through a glass darkly. We see in part, we know in part. Probably scare us if we knew much more than that. But I didn't know John, 18-year-old red-headed John, remember that flaming red hair? He died that night. Now his blood's on my hand, I already know. I done talked to God about it. I mean, at my best, I'm a failure anyway. But my advice to you for the last days, it's the same advice God gave Israel. He said, oh Israel, prepare to meet thy God. You got an appointment. You're going to keep it. Mom and dad ain't going to help you. Your good looks, your persona ain't going to help you. You're going to stand before Him just like a multitude without number is going to do. And you're going to realize, buddy, that He's God and you didn't do what He told you to do. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? I bet you Pilate wished he'd done something with him. I bet you Jezebel wished she took some advantage of that space. God, I don't know if it's this much space or that much, but I know one thing. He said He gave it to her, and He said she repented not. I bet you those angels wished they thought twice about rising up against God. I bet you that bunch in Noah's day, it's going to be resurrected there. You find that there in Revelation there. His house hold small and great stand before God, and death and hell gave up those which are in them, and the books are open. They judge that. I bet you a lot of people are going to stand that day and say, boy, I wish I'd listen. Well, forget about all of them. This is your day today. What are you going to do today? You can have an eternal moment today. I had one 27 years ago. I'm pillow my head tonight. Only thing I worry about is waking them heaven. Well, it's a real threat, ain't it? I mean, if Osama bin Laden was still alive and he said, Eddie, I'm coming to your house tonight, cut your head off, I said, thank the Lord. I've been so sick of looking at that thing anyway. All he's going to do is open me up and let me go to heaven. I just want you to know, this ain't going away. They're coming here. They hate you. And the reason they hate you is because of him. They're not going to be bought out. They're not going to be talked out of it. They're crazy. They're full of their father, the devil. They're coming. Best thing you can do, run to Jesus. I want a refuge for my soul. I won't be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die, because you're going to die. What are you going to do? My advice to you in these last days, run, not walk, slide in here. Say, Lord, me and you need to talk. Eternity will tell the truth. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we've done our best. Lord, you know we have. I'm not no pedigree preacher, Father. Not much of one at all. But I've done the best I could. Whatever's done from here on out, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would sanction it. I pray the hand of God would be the one to do the moving. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, ask it. Amen. Brother Jordan. Bless you, brother.